This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Welcome to the show, America. My name is Adam Ritz. This is The Adam Ritz Show. Jay Baker joining me via telephone, and Mr. Alexander Graham Bell, thanks you for your service, Jay. How are you?
I am doing well, Adam. Looking forward to another exciting edition of the Adam Ritz Show.
Want to jump off the docks here with a story about Jimmy John's. This is not a paid endorsement. They've given me nothing to say this. I love Jimmy John's. I love the bread. I know you like a good sandwich. How you feel about Jimmy John's?
Jimmy John's, one of my all-time favorite sandwiches.
And I do almost love the sign in the window that says free smells, as much as I love eating the sandwich. Well, this is the weekend. They're doing a Best Buddies partnership to support Best Buddies and autism across the country for Saturday and Sunday, November 9th and 10th. They will be donating 20% of their sales to the Best Buddies program. So depending on when you're hearing this show, if you're hearing this show on Sunday morning, you still have the rest of Sunday, November 10th, to head to Jimmy John's, purchase a sandwich, and know that 20% of your payment will go to support Best Buddies. And I'm telling you, with a chain as big as Jimmy John's, I don't know, top of my head, I'm just going to guess 1,000 locations across the country. That sounds pretty close to me. You add up all the sandwiches bought in a 1,000 location chain and take 20% of it, that's going to be quite a lot of money that they're giving to Best Buddies.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, you get an absolute delicious sandwich. So it's a win-win as I look at it.
That's one of our favorite things to point out on this program. If there's a way for you to enjoy something that you were going to buy anyway, and that money can go to charity, I mean, why not? Why, you got to eat. You got to have lunch or dinner, or both. You got to have a snack between lunch and dinner.
And I do love the corporate stewardship that has created events like this to help, you know, good causes.
And it's certainly worth a high five and a shout out to Jimmy John's and all the hard work they do for charities across the country. They do a day of giving at a certain point of the year where they do the same thing. And they have their own foundation. If you'd like to learn more, you can Google Jimmy John's Foundation to learn exactly what they're doing. I even saw on that website they sell merch. So if you want to buy a Jimmy John's shirt, a portion of those proceeds will also go to help the Jimmy John's Foundation.
Good. Now you've gone and done it. Now I'm starving for a Jimmy John's.
You're hungry. Let's get this show over with so we can go eat.
Let's go. Hey, here's kind of an interesting note. This falls under, generational knowledge. But remember, when you got your AOL account, that was many people's first look at getting on the internet and actually having an email address and everything. Mm-hmm. And remember when you connected with AOL, do you remember what it said? If you had email?
I was really late on doing all of that. I was one of the last persons, probably in my generation, to actually get a home computer in my house. So I don't recall this. What happened?
Well, when you connected with your AOL account and you had email, there would be a voice that would come on and said, "You've got mail."
Oh, yeah. Very famous. You've got mail.
You've got mail. Well, Elwood Edwards was the voice of the iconic "You've Got Mail" greeting, has sadly passed away.
I think it's shocking to learn that that was an actual human. I mean, this world of AI that we live in now, I would have just assumed that was some sort of computer-generated voice.
Well, and it does beg the question, you and I are in this business, you kind of go, I'm kind of curious, how much did you get paid to do it? And let's just say the guy did it for $50, and then it was perhaps one of the most iconic greetings in certainly early computer history.
I mean, if he needed a better agent, because he could have got $100 to say you've got mail, and then if he earned 0.001 cent every time it was said, he'd have $1 billion.
Yeah, probably. It doesn't say anything at all about his contract, but 74 years old, passed away in Cleveland, Ohio, following a long illness. Elwood Edwards.
Great name. And am I mistaken? Was there a Tom Hanks movie called You've Got Mail?
Yes.
Okay, so I have to believe that Elwood Edwards had some sort of bit part or cameo or extra. I don't care if he was in the back of the restaurant. They had to have reached out to him to be in that movie. I'm going to research that.
Well, you and I have done voice stuff, and sometimes you don't even know where it's going to end up or how long it's going to last. So that is a kind of a fascinating story. Now, you know, one of the things that you and I believe are fascinated by is rock stars who do crazy, wild things on stage. And, you know, you remember the original rock thing? It was, hey, baby, we're breaking all the rules. We're rock stars. Later, rock stars like Metallica and this gentleman, Alice Cooper, realized that their star power enabled them to create foundations and not-for-profits and actually help people through the money they raised by being rock stars.
For sure, yeah. What's Alice Cooper up to besides golfing?
Well, Alice, usually seen on a golf course, believe it or not, has entrenched himself in the Phoenix, Arizona area with a vocational program he created for teenagers at their Solid Rock Teen Centers. There's several of these in Phoenix, and he does an event every year called the Christmas Pudding Fundraiser.
Okay.
And it's going to take place December 7th at the Celebrity Theater in Phoenix. He said he's very excited about the lineup. The lineup will help us raise funds for our 3 teen centers. We're grateful to everyone who continues to make this one of the biggest events in the Valley, and promise another memorable evening of music and mayhem.
Mayhem. You know, it's funny.
Isn't that great?
It's awesome to think of Alice Cooper. You see the old 70s footage of him on stage with a giant Frankenstein, and there's a snake around his neck, and he's got the eye makeup, and it's really evil looking and intimidating. And to know now, to see behind the curtain and know more about that man and what a generous person he is, a scratch golfer who would rather go play 36 holes than party, and that he's raising money for his 3 teen centers in Arizona, and to describe it as come enjoy the mayhem.
and not a shabby lineup at all, Adam. It'll feature Alice Cooper on stage, along with Jimmy Eat World, Tom Morello, Mark McGrath, Gretchen Wilson, and Six Wire. So it's actually kind of an all-star lineup.
That's a huge lineup. Jimmy Eat World, you had a couple radio hits. Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray, at least 5 or 6 radio hits. And Tom Morello, I mean, the rockers know him from the band Rage Against the Machine. He's one of the best guitarists in rock history, and a very interesting guy as well. And I believe he has his own radio show.
I think you're right. Yeah, so solid lineup for the Christmas Pudding Fundraiser. Happens December 7th. Tickets are on sale right now. I did not get the email address, but I'm sure it's an easy lookup.
Easy search, and I love the title, the Christmas Pudding Fundraiser. I love it.
Yeah. So, yeah, these crazy rockers helping their communities, who would have thought?
And I'd love to talk to some of the teens that benefit from these teen centers to see, you know, what they think of Mr. Cooper, because their point of reference on Alice Cooper is that he's the old guy that started the teen center. Like, they don't look at him as here's one of the most prolific artists in classic rock history. They just say, this is the old guy that retired in Arizona that started this place where I go play shuffleball.
Yeah, this is a guy I see out on the golf course. I don't know anything else about the guy. Yeah.
Mr. Cooper likes to come watch movies with us. And meanwhile, you've got middle-aged guys like us in the Midwest that would like die to meet him because we think so highly of him from a classic rock perspective.
Well, Adam, you know that we love our technology, and there's a new FAA rule that is going to make flying air taxis closer to reality. Mm-hmm. So this is actually in the not too distant future. Would you take an air taxi?
Yeah, you know, when you said air taxi, I was just triggered in my head an Airbus, which I just thought was just another term for an airplane. I thought air taxi just meant like maybe a puddle jumper, a smaller plane to get from one city to the next that would be normally a 2-hour drive. Maybe you take an air taxi and it's a 28-minute flight. But are you saying like the Jetsons, like a car that floats?
Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
My
There's
gosh.
A new type of aircraft that is called the powered lift aircraft. Now, this is similar to like a helicopter, but slightly different. And the new rule will allow official training to be designed and put into place for the safe operation, and which is being developed right now. And you say to yourself, well, flying taxi, it's going to be a presumably like a car sized vehicle that you hop in and it actually flies you down to your local sporting event or your concert or your dental appointment. I mean, wherever you got to go, baby, it's ready to go.
I'm looking at a 45-minute drive to the airport from my house, and I would absolutely take an air taxi if it's a 9-minute ride from my driveway to the airport.
Now, presumably, because there won't be traffic, it will be much quicker. Yeah,
as the crow flies, straight there, no stoplights, no traffic. But here's my caveat: I'm not doing it until years into its existence. I am not going to be one of the guinea pigs when two of them collide in the air, when one of them hits a building, when the other 3,000 things that could go wrong. I am not the most paranoid person in the world, but I certainly want to wait till all the tests come in, all the research comes in, and it's proven to be safe over the course of years.
Oh, see, you're no fun. What's wrong?
Although I did climb into an airplane with you when you just got your pilot's license a couple of decades ago, which I was young and dumb. I was probably 28 years old. Fast forward to today, Jay, if you came to me and said, hey, I'm getting my pilot's license, I have a restricted license, you want to go for a flight over the city? I wouldn't do it now. No way.
That's funny. You know who was addicted to flying were my kids, because the first thing they realized, you know, whenever we had to travel, go to Aunt Jean's house or Grandma's house, we'd just hop in an airplane. We got pretty spoiled, the kids especially, because it was exactly what you said. It's 8 hours to Grandma's house in the minivan, but it's only 2 hours in an airplane. So kids made that choice pretty quick.
And you're saying that the FAA has approved this, or what is the new rule?
What basically it said is they're creating a type of aircraft that will fit the categories of these air taxis, because that's a big part. You'll love this. The Federal Aviation Administration, they like to quantify all their different aircraft. Like you can probably imagine, there's a big difference between piston-engined airplanes and jets. There's a big difference between a hot air balloon and a helicopter. Mm-hmm. But all aircraft share certain similarities. So this is going to be a brand new type of aircraft. So what they want to do is categorize it, set up training, because the one thing, and you'll be pleased about this, Adam, our FAA does, is they are very strict about training programs for pilots and mechanics and anybody that touch aircraft, they make sure that they are highly trained and they have what is known as recurrent training. And you have to have valid recurrent training to continue to be a pilot or a mechanic. So I think these are all positive things. I guess the story about this is, like you said, a la the Jetsons, I mean, this is kind of around the corner.
It really makes you think of the movie Total Recall with yes. Arnold Schwarzenegger, maybe the movie Minority Report with Tom Cruise, and those vehicles where you just climb in and take off. And it's like, you know, the funny thing is some of those movies, when you look at when they take place, the movies that were made in the 80s and 90s took place in the future in like the year 2050. And we are not that far away from 2050. So it's really amazing to see that some of the movies made at the end of last century that had technology that they didn't know would be around, they're pretty close. I mean, these movie makers were pretty close on what technology is going to be like in the future. Look at Tony Stark with his, hologram touchscreens. I mean, that's coming. It's right around the corner.
It's right around the corner. Absolutely. Yeah, to give you an idea, Toyota recently invested in a company called Joby Aviation, a California-based company. So this will create opportunities and create jobs. So that's a big thumbs up in my book.
So the FAA, the Federal Aviation Association, was I right there?
No, administration.
Administration.
Yes.
Every time I hear FAA, I think of the FFA, which is the Future Farmers of America. And, you know, I've done some voiceover work and some media for the Future Farmers of America. And every time I think of FFA, if somebody says, hey, have you heard about the FFA? I'm like, what did the Aviation Administration do now? I'm always getting them mixed up. God forbid there's ever a Future Farmers Aviation Administration. Then I will be very confused.
It's combining two great concepts, flying and farming. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Hey, we got swept up in it not too long ago as Taylor Swift finished up her North American concert tours here in the Midwest. Here's a great story. Well, this isn't a great story, but this kind of shows you where, you know, the demand to just be anywhere close to Taylor Swift can be. Mm-hmm. A man posing as a security guard was arrested at Taylor Swift's Eras Tour concert in Miami.
Okay.
A gentleman was charged with falsely impersonating an officer and interfering with an entertainment event after police discovered him dressed in a suit wearing a badge over his neck near the field, but without a ticket.
That's serious stuff. You cannot impersonate a police officer.
Yeah, gentleman claimed he was hired by women to escort them as a security guard, but police later confirmed he was actually their hired driver for the night, not a guard. He remains in custody. So that will tell you how seriously they take it. He is still in custody with a $1,500 bond, which is somewhat ironic that he's still in jail because the ticket would have cost him $1,500 easy.
It would have cost more to buy the ticket to see the show than it is for him to get an attorney to defend himself. Well, maybe he made the right choice. Maybe he's on the right track. I don't know.
Can you imagine sharing beverages with the security detail for Taylor Swift? The stories that those boys have seen with their own eyes would be pretty amazing.
And I'm telling you, in the drunk tank or the holding cell, when everybody is trying to act tough and they're like, hey, what are you in for? And he has to say, I snuck into a Taylor Swift concert. I don't know if that goes over that. You're not going to rule the cell block.
No, you will not be the king of your cell block with that story. Now, Adam, I don't know where you stand on this very important topic. Do you believe that pineapple belongs on pizza?
I do not. It is not one of my top 10 issues. in the recent election, it was not one of my major issues to vote for or vote against. So if I'm at a big game, pregame tailgate party, and people open up the pizza box, and I see a pizza with ham or Canadian bacon with pineapple on it, I don't throw a fit, and I will happily eat a piece. I will probably eat a bite that has a pineapple, discover I don't really like it, and I will pick the pineapple off the rest of the pizza. I'm not that aggressively against it, but I don't care. I'm not one of the, I know there are people out there that think it is the sign of the end of the apocalypse, that the world is ending if you put pineapple on pizza.
There's a lot of controversy, and that's why I'm bringing up this latest story. Believe it or not, Thanksgiving pizza is a thing.
Really?
Yeah. DiGiorno Pizza bringing back its Thanksgiving pizza. They introduced this last year. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because you and I know during the Thanksgiving season, it's such a great eating holiday, but you know, you have to approach it with moderation. Mm-hmm. But here's one other way for you to sort of get some of the classic Thanksgiving ingredients and put them on pizza, which is a real crowd pleaser. You and I know very few people will say, oh, no thanks to pizza. But the holiday pizza pie consists of cheese, turkey and gravy, green beans, crispy onions, and cranberries. So, you know, I think, I'm not sure that those are necessarily pizza ingredients.
Yeah, I think everything you just said is more offensive to me than pineapple on pizza. green beans and gravy? Oh, no, I am not.
Just no.
I would say, here's where I'm going to alter the recipe. I'm saying, give me a pizza crust, and instead of the marinara red sauce, let's just put a layer of gravy. And then on top of that gravy, now we go with turkey dressing, a few green beans, a little bit of corn, and I don't even think I put cheese on it, to be honest with you. Well, you know what? A little bit of broccoli casserole would have cheese. So, yeah, maybe you could sprinkle some cheese. No, not overwhelming cheese, just a small amount of shredded cheddar.
Just a smidge.
And I would try that. And I don't think the pizza crust needs to be garlic-ridden. Almost just use biscuit mix. Like if it's just a biscuit crust with gravy, turkey dressing, some corn, some green beans. Now I'm on board for this.
See, I think you have missed your calling, my friend. You should be working in a pizza lab. But if you are an adventurous soul and you'd like to try this particular pizza, it will be available at your local grocery store through November.
I will try it. I mean, it has pizza sauce, right?
It does not specifically say pizza sauce, but it does have gravy, which, as you pointed out, might be all the more sauce you need. Gravy, which I think makes the pizza significantly more healthy.
I think it does. And I think that, you know, if you think of a breakfast pizza, they don't put pizza sauce on a breakfast pizza. So it ends up being like just a flat breakfast burrito. You've got the eggs, potatoes, sausage, and they use sausage gravy. So, you know, I'm going to do some research here. Maybe it is more likely that there's no pizza sauce, and in place of said red sauce, they're using turkey gravy.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's hope.
Americans will be spending big on the holidays. You know, we have cautiously sort of have seen bits and pieces of the economy coming back. The holiday shopping season is upon us. And Americans, they'll be opening up their wallets. A recent survey found that Americans will spend around $925 on average on gifts for families and friends.
In total. So if you if you have, I have a friend that has 10 kids, believe it or not.
Wow.
So you're talking about $100 per kid. And that leaves nothing left for them to buy each other as far as the spouses. So if you have one kid, you're in luck, because then you can spend, you know, $500 on your wife, $500 on your kid. You can be done with it. $925 per person spent on gifts. I'm going to keep that number in my back pocket so I can tell everybody after Christmas that was the average and you got a little bit more. So shut up.
There you go. But I thought that was an interesting amount. That is up from last year. But this survey also said that shopping is a bit stressful. In fact, 55% of the respondents in the survey said that they are at least mildly stressed by holiday spending.
Well, I think, it's stressful to mess with your budget, to know that, you know, everybody's got their month planned out, from their mortgage to their credit card bills, their car insurance and car payment. You throw another payment in during the month of December, another $925 payment, that's stressful. And then the other side of that stress, Jay, as I think you're saying, that it's just stressful to worry about, what am I going to get these people?
Right. Absolutely. That's part of it.
I like to think that I have thoughtful gifts I get people. Well, it's stressful when you get somebody a thoughtful gift. Now you've almost screwed yourself, because now if you don't get them a thoughtful gift every time, then you've just presented yourself as mailing it in. You just got them a gift card again because they didn't mean enough for you to go out and get them a thoughtful gift. That is stressful.
It is stressful. And on top of that, they were saying that 28% of these are the respondents to this survey said that they are still paying off credit card balances from last year. That makes it tough, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's stressful. That's stressful.
Hey, here's a little stress for you. You mentioned cars. Experts have issued a warning for people who are in the market for a used car. Make sure you look it over thoroughly, because that particular car could have come from either Hurricane Helene or Hurricane Milton. Hundreds of cars that were damaged by floodwater are expected to hit the market over the next 6 months.
That is a fantastic warning. Thank you, Jay, for sharing that. Yeah, there's so many cars damaged, near totaled from water damage in those two hurricane areas. And if they're getting bought up on the cheap, repainted and swept out and then resold on the other side of the country, I can absolutely see how somebody could be, I hate to say suckered into buying it, but you would never think, if you're going to buy a used car in Idaho, you would never think this car was a victim of Hurricane Helene in North Carolina. And,
yeah.
And I mean, talk about depreciation for a car.
Yeah, so you have to be extra careful. They were saying a couple things. You might want to check the vehicle for moisture, but that sounds a little too obvious to me, but that is something to think about. They said also look under the carpet in the trunk and under the floor mats. They also said that a brand new battery wire can be a red flag, because flood-damaged cars often need their batteries replaced.
This is such great advice. I love what you're doing here. Brand new battery wire. So if it's an older car, everything under the hood is old, and there's a brand new battery wire, that could be your red flag.
That could be it. They do say that you can get a Carfax report and check the vehicle's repair history. So not to give an ad to Carfax, but they're the ones that are warning people, because unfortunately, you could go, and we've talked about that, there is a premium price being paid for used cars, and some of those used cars could have unfortunately been under a bit of water at one of the areas that got hit by the hurricanes.
Hurricane, who, there's so much to think of when a hurricane hits an area. All right, Jay, thank you so much for coming on the show and all the great stuff you talk about. For our listeners, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at Adam Ritz, just like the Ritz crackers, at Adam Ritz on Twitter, now X.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibenomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibenomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibenomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.